Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today's guest is Rebecca Nicholson. She's founder, director, and advisor over at rebeccanicholson.ca. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Adam, for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
All right. So a big topic today. So the healing power of psychedelics. I mean, we've been hearing quite a bit about this and I've done a couple shows on this, but it'd be interesting to kind of to delve into your mind and why you do what you do and really what we can all learn from this together. That being said, I guess just to get us kicked off here, like how did you get interested in this field? Like where'd that start for you?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it started the moment I was born.
Hold on, you started in psychedelics when you were born? What do you mean? I don't buy.
Let's clarify that a little bit. The expansion of consciousness, Adam. I was born in the smallest province of Canada with a community of hippies and people that really thought outside the box. They called themselves Back to the Landers. They all ended up there in the 70s. And, you know, although they wouldn't, some of them would probably say they never did psychedelics, but I'm sure there was, you know, just part of the process of their own exploration of consciousness. And, you know, the first thing they did when they got to the island was they all went into the woods. They all university graduates, you know, very thoughtful people. And they went into the woods and they built a log cabin together as a community. So these are people that really thought outside the box, pushed the boundaries, believed in, you know, the power of nature and connection and gardens and, you know, living intentionally. So for me, coming and kind of somehow ending up in the psychedelic space for the last 4 years, more on the business and investment side of things, for me, it was really like coming home. But I had such a deep respect and reverence for this medicine. And as I've continued to learn more about the indigenous knowledge, indigenous wisdom, history, respect, accessibility, ethical uses of these deep, deep healing opportunities, it's just been such a joy. And I'm just so grateful to be in this space because I walk with such reverence for it and respect. I mean, you have to lean into respect when you're working in this industry, because if you don't, you'll somehow be weeded out. That's kind of the mystical element of working with these natural plant biomasses. It's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's good to be here.
Let's take a couple steps back here. So what was it like growing up in that environment? That's fascinating to me. Like, what was it like growing up in that environment? It's a whole nother like train of thought, or consciousness.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's all I knew, right? I grew up on about 75 acres of land. My father built the house I grew up in. The first thing he built with his best friend, they grew up in Montreal. The first thing they built as they built each other's houses was an outhouse, because, you know, that was a really important piece. Yeah. And then, you know, he blazed trails all through the woods for walking trails and ski trails for the community. We had a hobby farm. We had goats. We had chickens. So I grew up eating, you know, like eggs from our chickens my whole life. And
that's amazing.
It was really, for me, it was really just this deep respect for nature. I mean, I was probably meditating before I even knew what meditating was. I remember just being like sitting on the grass and watching all the leaves around me moving in the wind and breathing and just finding this immense sense of calm. And then, you know, fast forward, I always wanted the city, like, oh, these big cities, the excitement of the city and opportunities. And I moved to Toronto, Canada, when I was 18. And, you know, I've moved around.
And then you ruined the piece of it all, didn't you, Rebecca? You ruined the piece of it all. Why do kids have to do that? You had it. And now
I realized, Adam, how important that was for me as a foundation of who I am today, and how I need to really, you know, confidently bring that back into people's lives. And, you know, and this is when, you know, I speak about these healing modalities, what a big part of this, not only psychedelics, but, you know, different healing modalities of nature immersion, of breath work, of sound healing, of meditation, of yoga, all of these different modalities that are really supporting people throughout their journeys and what beautiful practices they are.
When you originally went to the city, like, was that kind of, it had to be a little bit of culture shock, or like, how did that transition take place?
I mean, it's funny. Like my aunt lives in Toronto, so I was lucky enough to be able to visit her in the summers, and I
Oh,
did
so you
do
still
even
have pretty
summer
much
camps
contact.
occasionally. Yeah, oh, I had contact to the outside world. Yes, don't worry, I wasn't just this hippie. This is like my
No,
family
I'm not
story.
saying that. I think it sounds wonderful, actually.
Yeah.
I wish I
Yeah.
had that type of environment. That's amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think more and more people are being called to this type of life. I mean, every day I hear about these people that want to create these conscious communities, whether it be in Costa Rica or Northern Ontario. I have people almost every day saying, "Oh, I have this group of people. We want to create these conscious communities, and and support each other and grow community." Because again, this is what we're missing in big cities, is those opportunities to truly connect. And I know it's such a buzzword within businesses these days, is community and community building. And but we have to really think, okay, this isn't just about building and creating more revenue within your company. This is actually bringing the heart behind it. Let's make proper eye contact. Let's create more opportunities to be vulnerable together and to share our hearts and to really feel like we're supporting each other. I mean, it's a huge piece within our own mental health, is community. And I hate to bring up the COVID story, but that was taken away from us. I mean, Ontario had the most stay-at-home orders, I think, in one of the places in the world, and that was something that was really, it disappeared for us for a while. And we have to understand how to not only bring it back, but how to create it in the first place, specifically in these inner city situations.
What do you think is driving people? I agree with you. This concept of commuting otherwise is become a buzzword, and a lot of people are headed in that direction, or at least, trying to. What do you think is driving that?
Well, I think it's a lot of different things. I think people really recognize the necessity of community and feeling supported through community. And, when we get locked into, being by ourselves, I mean, things don't go well, right? We don't have that foundation of safety. We don't have that foundation of feeling connected not only to others, but also to Mother Earth and also to ourselves. Things start to crumble a little bit, and then it starts to turn into a lot of negative energy. And and we saw what happened. So I think, within businesses, as they're trying to build these opportunities for connection, it's not just about, the return of investment or the ROI. It is really about growing these opportunities for people to come in and feel like they have a second home, not just, behind the closed door of their apartment in this big box of other little boxes. It's like stepping outside, literally figuratively, of those boxes and holding space for other people. And that's one thing that I've always been really felt driven and passionate about, specifically in the city, because there's a lack. Everyone's too busy. They're, all their kids are here. They have all these appointments and all of these programs. And what we really need to do is slow down, stand on our front porch and say, "Hi, neighbor. How are you doing today? Let's talk. How can I help you? What do you need?" I remember, a good friend of mine, she lives in Miami, and every time we finish a conversation on the phone, she's such an amazing human to me. She says, "What can I do for you? How can I support you?" And what's just such a beautiful offering. Most of the time I'm saying, just this conversation was all I needed. But I know that she's so genuine that if I were to call her any day, she would be there in a heartbeat. And so we need more of that. Like, let's end this conversation today, Adam, by saying, "What do you need? How can I help you?" Because, what a beautiful way to end a conversation too, which also means to be continued, right? We'll pick it up again next time.
For sure. So I want to circle back to how psychedelics play into this. Like, at what point did you
Oh,
get
yeah, what we were
involved with
supposed to talk
the
about.
No, this is great. At what point did psychedelics kind of make their way into your world? Like, how'd you get interested in that field?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I was moving through a big transition personally through my life, and I had to start opening up new doors for out of necessity. I became a single mother, and I realized I needed to, figure out some financial stability for myself and my children. So I literally just started opening up every single door that came my way. One thing led to another, and I was introduced to a founding partner, and we created a business together. And it was more from the family office perspective. And he was a huge heart-led warrior, and he wanted to support healing and healing networks and psychedelic retreats, immersive wellness, and I was there to execute it. And, you know, with my background, really was in the health and wellness industry, within yoga, within mindfulness, self-compassion work, with meditation work, but also getting, you know, managing businesses and moving things forward. So it was a really exciting opportunity, and we had a general interest in the psychedelic retreat space. We originally had spoken about creating our own in Costa Rica because we had property in Costa Rica, and then lo and behold, we were introduced to other founders. This is right around the time, probably in the middle of 2020, when things started to ramp up around psychedelics. I don't know, you know, especially specifically in the investment world, people got really excited about psychedelics. And around 2021, people were throwing money into the psychedelic space. It felt very exciting, felt like there was a lot of traction. It felt like, you know, this is happening and it's happening fast. And then we decided to open up a private equity fund and start to raise outside capital specifically to support immersive wellness and psychedelic retreat centers internationally, because obviously we, you know, have to wait for legal jurisdictions to open up in more places. And then so we started a fund called the Progression of Consciousness Fund, and I really just started working with psychedelic companies early on, founders, CEOs, and really creating that vision of, you know, how to help people today. So it was really considered impact investing. We didn't invest in any biotech because we really wanted to help people today, and also the concept of heal yourself, heal the world, right? So I started working with a handful of different retreat companies around the world, and also another company in Austin for mind, body, spirit healing, and another company in Toronto, and really just found my place. And then all of a sudden, everything started to snowball for me. It was podcasts and panels, and I think specifically people were really excited to have a female voice in this space, because I think that, you know, people at that point in 2021, people were really comparing psychedelics to cannabis. And I kept saying, no, these are very, very different models. These are very different worlds. Cannabis, I joke, cannabis is like the one night stand, and psychedelics is the long-term relationship, right? This is like marriage material. We're going to uncouple. We're going to get back together again. We're going to really fight to make this happen. This is family, because it's not being the easiest road. It's, you know, being really up and down. Nobody knows where it's going to go. The industry has not figured itself out yet as a whole, which makes complete sense to me, because we think about our indigenous wisdom and plant medicines, and they've been using these medicines for thousands and thousands of years. And then, you know, the Western world, although everybody here needs this type of healing, we have to work with reverence and respect, or else those people are going to fall out, right? So there is a bit of a cleansing within the psychedelic industry and the psychedelic space of people who were not in it for the right reasons. And again, it's a long-term play. This is for the true respect of deep healing opportunities and what these medicines can really do for people. So for me, I'm passionate about group ceremonial healing in nature with natural plant biomass. And then again, all of the other modalities around you that are going to help you and support your journey, and proper preparation is really important. Some people just shouldn't be doing psychedelics. And then the proper integration afterwards. And, you know, many would consider the integration process after maybe more important than the actual ceremony itself, because this is where you're going to create new patterns within your life so that you can move forward in, you know, within your truest self and what you got back and what you let go. So for me, this has been such an incredible journey, and I'm advising a few different companies right now within preparation integration training. And then stepping into a new retreat and resort business right now called Atman, and we're partnering with Holos in Costa Rica, and really just at the very beginning right now, really just moving slowly to be able to create these opportunities for people, because we know it's coming, it's all happening, we just don't know what it looks like at this point. So really we're just holding space and moving very consciously forward. And psychedelic healing, it's not only about, you know, oh, I need a reset, or, you know, I'm curious about exploring my consciousness, which I truly believe that should be a basic, you know, human right, is your opportunity to explore your own consciousness if you would like to. At the same time, we're talking about really deep healing opportunities for treatment-resistant anxiety, depression. We're talking about PTSD and trauma. We're talking about eating disorders. We're talking about alcohol dependency. We're talking about big, big things that the modalities that people have been working with so far, such as SSRIs or talk therapy, it's just not working, as I think we can all agree with. It might be a Band-Aid. It might help people and get them through in certain moments of their life, but it's not getting to the root cause of, you know, what's causing a lot of pain and suffering within humanity right now. So it's a really important piece moving forward.
Talk to me a little bit more. You mentioned a current project. I mean, talk to me a little bit more about any current projects you're working on. I'm just curious on like where you're at in the space with. I know what you've done in the past, and I just kind of want to know what's going on right now.
Yeah, it's interesting, my trajectory. You know, I started in the health and wellness industry and, you know, with yoga mindfulness work and meditation work. And then I became a CEO and founding partner and managing a private equity fund. Mm-hmm. And now I'm moving more into supporting different companies in the psychedelic space. You know, so many people were like, get out of the psychedelic space. It's too niche. It's too hard. There's no money. Mm. But I'm like, yeah, but this is my secret sauce, and this is what I'm really passionate about, and what I think, you know, really needs to be supported. So that's where I'm at. I'm also supporting this, which I mentioned, Atman, a new retreat and resort company starting off in Costa Rica. I'm their executive director of wellness, and really just supporting their vision, again, getting their word out, their work out. And, you know, what they're doing differently, which I really, really love, is they're putting more emphasis on actual relational work. So prep and integration, and then processing the work while they're doing it. So it's not just about going to a retreat, doing four sessions of ayahuasca, and then going home. Right? There's not the actual, like, the heart behind those types of that type of work, depending where you go. But there's, you know, there's definitely different models out there, and some that I feel much more better about supporting than others. And, you know, the clinical director of Atman, Jesse Hansen, he's got a master's and PhD in clinical psychology and neuropsychology and somatic therapy. So he really, you know, is incorporating these elements into the work besides just, you know, here's a bunch of plant medicine, good luck. Mm-hmm. Right? So it is about the reverence and the connection. And I was actually just there last week with the founding team and getting to know everybody. And I connected with, they have this beautiful indigenous man from the Baruca tribe there. And he was painting my arm with this ink from one of their trees that they use. And we were talking, I had a translator, and I was, you know, telling him about how important this land is to me and how much respect and how sacred this land is. And then I was trying to connect with him about maybe if there was an opportunity for me to spend some time with the Baruca so that we can connect the indigenous wisdom of the Baruca with Atman, because it's so important to have these open conversations with our indigenous leaders. And little did I know, while he was painting my arm, at the end he said what he had painted was the symbol of the Baruca on me. And it was pretty magical, this whole conversation and moving through that circle with him. And I believe in July I'm actually going to go spend some time with the Baruca and bring a translator with me and just to sit with them and to learn more and to be with them in their space and to listen, really. It's just all about listening and, you know, and, you know, bringing whatever messages I can back to other beautiful people that I'm working with. So it's a really special time for me, and I do take it very personally, and I'm passionate about, you know, really supporting in whatever way I can in all directions.
It's amazing. Well, Rebecca, I have to say it has been great having you on the show today. I really appreciate you sharing your journey, your upbringing. I mean, everything that's led you in your life to your current path, and obviously wishing you much more continued success and representation within the psychedelics industry. I think it's amazing, an amazing story, one I'm happy to bring to my audience. That being said, if somebody wants to continue to follow your journey and your projects, I mean, how do they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because our company is still so new, our website's not up yet. We're still working on all of that. But it's so easy to find me at, you can find me on my website, RebeccaNicholson.ca. You can also find me on LinkedIn. You can also email me, Rebecca Nicholson's email at gmail.com, or find me on Instagram, which is Rebecca_Nicholson_. Or if you're just curious about learning more about psychedelics, I'm also stewarding an Instagram account called Consciousness_Curation. And that's just updating on current psychedelic information, legalities, and also, you know, Indigenous wisdom. So there's lots out there, and I love to continue to connect with everyone. So, Adam, thank you again for having me, and let me know how I can best help you.
Absolutely. And thank you. And to the audience, we'll, of course, leave the links to Rebecca's website, so RebeccaNicholson.ca, in the show notes, so you can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with us and you haven't done it yet, this is a daily show. So each and every day we're bringing you new content, new founders, new stories. And if that's interesting to you, then don't forget, hit that subscribe button, because again, we have many more interesting individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And if you've been listening for a long time to us and you haven't left us that review yet, definitely get that review in. We sure do appreciate it. And Rebecca, really, this has been a pleasure. Looking forward to learning and hearing more about these projects. So thanks again for coming on.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Adam. We'll talk soon.